We're at war, and the stakes are high. Men, if we're not fighting spiritual battles every day, we're losing the war. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough, manly issues. We're kicking off a brand new series on spiritual warfare. The war, our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our series on spiritual warfare. The first segment is The War, and we've got the Crossing the Goal team ready to serve you from Renewal Ministries. Peter Herbeck, who is Vice President of Renewal Ministries, and the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And our coach is the All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, former, he's our coach here on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz, author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. And Danny, when we're talking about a war here, this is a war beyond proportions of any human war that we can think of.
Exactly. You know, we thought about World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, how terrible they were, and they were. And currently we're looking at the Afghanistan War and Iraq War. They're terrible also.
Yes.
But they're nothing in comparison to the spiritual warfare that's going on out here in the world. And let me confirm it with scriptures here. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places.
I mean, that's the biblical perspective. The Catholic understanding is that we're born into a battle. What's the fight for? Well, it's a battle for souls between two kingdoms, eternal souls. The battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And what we're going to look at in this series is the reality of the war that we're engaged in and what it, how it unfolds in our lives and how we can win the battles that we find ourselves in.
No, and it's important for us to recognize how important this is, because it's not as though it's just a battle between God and Satan. We have a fundamental role to play here. We're not only called to be warriors in the midst of this battle, but we're also the prize that's being fought for. So we have to recognize that if we stay out of the game, we're destined to lose. But if we join in, we join the winning team.
And Satan is one mean dude. He's not going to like the fact that we're doing this series. So men and women who are watching as well, please pray especially for us as we continue our series on spiritual warfare, The War. We have a game plan with Peter and Curtis next.
Actually, my first year coaching with the New Orleans Saints, I was there in New Orleans with Danny, and Mike Ditka had hired me in my first job as an assistant strength coach. And I got my start there, and actually, Danny, you know, I had some questions. I'd been a Catholic, I'd been raised Catholic, and I was kind of falling, you know, away from the church. And he got me with Monsignor Reynolds down there in New Orleans and really got me reignited and got me fired up about being a Catholic and proud to be a Catholic today. And I owe a lot of gratitude to Danny Abramowitz and the Monsignor Reynolds down there in New Orleans.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin from Focus, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck from Renewal Ministries. We're talking about spiritual combat, and our topic is the war. And this is so important, Peter, because we really need to have a wake-up call. Things are getting darker and more dangerous, and we need to be able to see there is a war. Listen to what Pope Benedict said about our current situation. He said, in our days, when vast areas of the world, our faith is in danger of dying out like a flame that no longer has fuel. And he goes on to say this about it. The real problem at this moment in our history is that God is disappearing from the human horizon. And with the dimming of the light which comes from God, humanity is losing its bearings with an increasingly evident destructive effect. Why is this the case?
I mean, the Holy Father is essentially articulating the eternal battle that we talked about from the beginning. But why would God be, why in our time would God be pushed away from the horizons of human history? What's going on? It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual struggle. The Catechism puts it this way. The whole of man's history has been the story of a dour combat with powers of evil. stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history until the last day. Finding himself in the midst of the battlefield, man has to struggle to do what is right. And it is a great cost to himself, and aided by God's grace, that he succeeds in achieving his own inner integrity. So what the biblical worldview and the Catholic worldview is very clear. We're born into a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And the battle, really the war that we're talking about today, started here in the book of Revelation.
I just want to say, this is so important for us to recognize, because in a certain sense, I really believe when people hear this, we're inclined to think, oh, well, this is from the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And I actually believe this is the key to unlock men's passion. Yeah. Because the church can sometimes be viewed as feminine. Yeah. And when we remove spiritual combat from it, then all of a sudden I think there's something to that. But when we reinsert this very real acknowledgement that we're in the middle of a war, yeah, I think men find their place back in the church. And that's the purpose of this whole session that we're going to be going through. So where does it come from?
Yeah, where did it all begin? Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Now a war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. And it goes on to say that he's been thrown down to the earth. And what does he do? He tempts man. And this is how the whole thing starts. Then we find ourselves in the garden.
Absolutely. So you've got a warfare that's taking place in the heavens. And then all of a sudden you have Satan expelled. He comes down to earth. And what does he do? He takes the rebellion with him.
Yeah.
And lures our first parents to jump sides. And they do through original sin. And all of a sudden this warfare is written large in the cosmos. I mean, we're born into that. And it's our job to take sides, and as we're told, even at great personal cost, to step up and say, I want to fight for the Lord against Satan.
This is reality. You can't escape it. This is the foundation of all of reality. This is what's going on in the cosmos. This battle is happening. And it began with the resistance of the devil, of demons, became fallen angels, literally. And they seduced our first parents and enslaved us. The Catechism says some interesting things about it in 407. It says, by our first parent's sin, the devil has acquired a certain domination over man, even though man remains free. Original sin entails captivity under the power of him who thenceforth had the power of death, that is the devil. So there's the spiritual combat we're talking about that you can't escape and I can't escape, is what the church put its finger on here. There's a certain domination that the devil has over the human heart, because when the human heart said yes to that rebellion and that sin, something died in us, trust in God, security in God. And now we're subject to these powers. The scripture talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil.
And then there's a certain blindness that we're not even aware we've been subjected to these. And so we find ourselves being entertained to death, finding ourselves relaxing and enjoying the life of leisure here in the first world as the world's becoming darker and darker, as God is vanishing from the human horizon. What are we going to do about that? How do we engender an awareness to engage back in the battle? What is it that we can do to step into the battle?
First thing we need to do is preach the gospel. We need to receive it as it's presented to us in the scripture, and to wake up, to help each other get a wake-up call, and to take these words to heart and ask the Lord for the grace to be able to receive it and believe it.
And I see this in our work on the college campus, that there's a response with both men and women, but there's something amazing going on in the lives of men in particular who have been waiting for an urgent call, an invitation to accept Christ's salvation as a free and gracious gift, and own that. I mean, Catholics, as I work with them on the college campus, they think well of Christ, but they don't know how to follow him. Yeah. And they find themselves struggling to know how their faith is central to their lives. This call to warfare is a lights-on experience where we're calling men to wake up, accept Christ, and live radically for him in a world that is at war with him. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. And Coach Danny, it's a good thing we have a good game plan, because from your NFL days, you know the red zone can be a war zone.
Well, the battle lines have been drawn. Let's go get in it.
That's right. The war's on in the red zone, next on Crossing the Goal. On the gridiron, it's in the red zone that the real battle takes place. So here in the red zone on Crossing the Goal, we are talking about spiritual warfare. Today, the war. And I imagine there's some guys out there saying, you guys are a bunch of kooks. Do you really believe this stuff?
I mean, I'm sure there are people who are saying, I mean, it's the cultural elite, especially in our country, you know, these days seem to be going after anybody who believes in life after death, heaven, hell, and of course, demons and devils and all of that. And people say you just have to be delusional to believe in something like that. There's something wrong with you. But guess what? Nobody spoke more about the devil and the reality of spiritual warfare than Jesus Christ. And he confronted them, and he drove them out, and he died to defeat them.
No, we have to recognize, and I think we have to say right up front, just because Peter might be delusional doesn't mean he's wrong on this issue.
And he's kooky.
No, but we have to understand that it's actually a logical place for the world to be, because it takes faith to be able to see this. If you don't have the faith, then it looks like we're talking about things that don't exist. Yeah. But in reality, faith has enlightened our understanding so that we see the world the way that God sees the world. Once we do, we can enter into the battle. And so we should understand and be patient with the world, and at the same time recognize what the world needs is a clear declaration, the call of evangelization.
But there is a war going out here in the world, but does the world realize also that we're man-to-man, hand-to-hand combat with the devil on a daily basis in our own personal lives?
How?
Struggles.
Where does that look
in
like?
Our own personal, I'm going to tell you, in me, in my personal life, he like impure thoughts. They pop up at the times I'm not, like he ambushes us. Impatience in my life. It comes up and I try to work at it, and it's like, oh, it's gone away. So we work through that, and it's gonna go. He'll be right back. It's not like he's gonna leave. And judgmentalism in my life. You know, sometimes I'm over there in my mind, not maybe not out there outwardly, but inwardly saying, well, look at him, you know, look at this. And I don't really want to do that, but I get away from it immediately. Fight it with the source of where I know I get my power.
If you let it get in you, then you're just feeding that devil.
You're in trouble, man.
I mean, it's not like the war is somewhere
out there.
It comes right in here.
That's right.
This is where the church's wisdom is so outstanding. Right. We read some of it up there. Because of the fall, because we said yes to sin and we rebelled against God, we've lost a bit of our freedom, not all of it. There's a certain domination the devil has over us. So when we're talking about the war, there's those three parts: the world, which we'll talk about next week, the flesh, that's the part in us that's kind of fallen. Jesus said, look inside your heart. Look what's in you. What's in you? Envy, he said, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, lust, unforgiveness, all that stuff we battle against. Say, well, how did it get there? You know? And why do I keep battling
and
against
it?
And why is it more intense some days
intensity
than others?
Yeah. The intensity of the battle. You know, I don't think we underestimate who we're against and what the war is all about.
I don't think Danny's very intense, do you?
Remember that he's actually speaking to Christians when he says that. It's the Christians who have greed and lust and envy. The rest of the world does also, but I think sometimes we have this overly simplified idea that it's good versus evil. It is on an angelic level, but out here on earth, it's a very much a mixed battle. Those who planted the flag for Christ still have an interior battle. I know I do.
Yeah.
I mean, and I sit back and say, I think the indicators that we see, that we share with the college students are, if you're not living in the battle, you're going to experience two things. If you're not in the battle, you're being slothful. You're not being what you're meant to be. Two fundamental fruits. You're going to be judgmental and critical, and you're going to be bored. So you're going to want to seek entertainment. And that describes, in my opinion, myself and the culture we speak to. We're critical and bored.
Does it mean, though, that we have to be like serious and glum all the time? That
you mean,
know,
like
we're
us?
At war. Yeah, right. We're at war. You know, this is real serious. We don't.
Well, no. I think one of the situations, Brian, is a lot of people are indifferent one way or the other. Oh, that's not, I'm not worried about it. There's no this war or this devil, this all this stuff, I don't believe about it. Or people get to a point where they get whipped down so bad, they get whipped around like a rented donkey, and they just give up.
Yeah.
They don't get in a fight. There's a fight on, and I see a lot of guys just giving up, the spiritual heads of the family, or in their own personal life, what are they doing to defend themselves against all this?
I mean, if there's anything that we need to communicate on this show is, you can't avoid being in the war.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just it. It's just, it's there. It's a reality. If you're not fighting, you're losing. And so the question is, are we going to wake up and fight? And we don't have to be dour. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be discouraged, because Jesus won the victory.
That's right.
And you live in it. Be happy warriors and engage in the battle of winning souls with the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But if we're not doing that, we're losing.
we've already won the war. It's right. the battle. See, what I'm trying to get across is the day-to-day battles.
Yeah.
As soon as you wake up in the morning, know that it's coming, that it's not if it's coming, it's when and how many times.
Yeah.
So the first step is to realize that there's a war and enter in. And the second thing is that to recognize that we can make a difference, that we're not helpless and hopeless. Because I think a lot of people sit back and say, well, what can I do? I'm not the president of the United States. I'm not, you know, a priest or a bishop or whatever. What can I do? But God has given each one of us a certain area that we're supposed to defend, starting with our own hearts and moving out through our families and the workplace, whatever it might be, and to recognize that helplessness is a lie and hopelessness is a sin, that we need to be filled with hope and that we recognize God has us here for a purpose.
Yeah. And Satan is the father of lies. You talk about, you know, those lies that come into our hearts. Satan's the father of lies. He wants us to believe those lies, and we don't have to.
And one of the things I think to help us in the battle is to hang around with people that have godly principles, that are in the war, that are familiar with this and know it. If we try to get out here on our own, we're going to get tore up.
I actually think that's next to the relationship with Christ, really planting the flag and saying, I'm yours, Lord. I think the most important thing is you've got to have friends that are walking in the same direction.
Same direction.
You just, the world is going to drag us back in another direction. If you've got men who want to run with you in the right direction and you've got that faith, I think then you begin to have the basic ingredients.
And then get serious about reading scripture on a daily basis. You know, it's a weapon. We're going to talk about that, you know, down the road a little bit. You know, it's a sword. It's the offensive weapon the Lord gives us to wield against the lies of the enemy. There's the reception of the sacraments, the Eucharist. There's confession. There's, you know, daily prayer. There's all the fellowship. All these things we need to have as a common practice in our life to help us resist and to win victories in the
Danny's
war.
Book covers that so well.
Yeah. You know. Spiritual workout of a former saint. You know, and also I've been told that, you know, if you're being attacked by the devil, we can be grateful for that, because if we're walking the same way as the devil, we never run into him. It's when we're going against him that
dead men,
we're
going to dead men float downstream, you know what I mean? If you're not fighting, you're no threat to the devil. Well, get serious about the war. Get serious about the battle and watch what happens.
Get serious about it and then also discuss it with other people. What Curtis, you and I were talking about a little bit about getting involved with other guys. When they were in the real war out here, Afghan war, you mean to tell me they don't discuss things with one another, make sure that
they don't fight by themselves either.
Right, they don't fight by themselves. We have to work together, just like us. When we're preparing, we prepare together. Yeah. It's not individually. We prepare as a group. We have to do our individual preparation, like you said, prayer, bring the Holy Spirit in, all these other things. But we have to talk with one another. Hey, I'm experiencing this. Hey, Brian, this is what's going on in my life. Are you? Yeah, I'm dealing with it. What did you do? These kind of things. It's not complicated stuff out here, but we have to be aware that the war's going on and jump in it.
Yeah. And there's a lot to cover in this. I know that this is just the first of a series of eight shows. What do you think we want to accomplish with the series?
We want to help men engage the spiritual conflict. First, to see the reality of the battle, the contours, how it unfolds in our daily life, and then how has God equipped us to win those battles and to gain ground and to win the victory in the spiritual combat.
And to be able to recognize that sometimes we want to jump right to the big things, and it's not. It's nailing the little things that will prepare us to be able to address the big things when they come. But I think sometimes the magnitude, once you begin to look at this and say, oh my goodness, we're battling spiritual forces on a global level. The entire culture, multiple cultures are overwhelmed by this. What are we possibly going to do? Start to nail the little things. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that, and that we're not alone. That we're in the struggle, not by ourselves. We have other brothers out there that are feeling for us, care about us, that we can go and join smaller groups. That's why I'm a big proponent of small groups and parishes and things of this nature. That's what you need. Surround yourself with strong people.
Discovering the truth that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
Right.
Yeah. We have pretty good weapons at our disposal. As Catholics, we have the sacraments, first of all. I had a confessor tell me, you need to learn to laugh at the devil. He says, when you have Jesus, the devil can't mess with you. He's going to try. He's going to keep trying, but you can laugh at him. That helped me a lot.
Well, that's important stuff. And to recognize we were made for this. More than we were made to go make money or to be able to achieve different earthly things, we were made for this warfare. This is what we were knit together to do. And when we step into this and become what we're meant to be, St. Catherine of Siena said this about us, said, if you are what you were meant to be, you will set the world on fire.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, each of you guys get the last word coming up in the end zone. We'll also take a look at our email bag next on Crossing the Goal.
It's funny because, you know, growing up, you can kind of begin to think that being a Christian man being a Catholic man somehow means that you're not a tough, strong man. And that's just really not the case. And I take pride in the fact that, yes, I have faith, but I look forward to physical confrontations, when I was on the football field. I don't get those anymore, but, you know, I really enjoyed that part of it, the physical part of it. And I know that God wants strong Catholic men. He wants, now that it's not physical, it's mental and it's spiritual, but he wants warriors that are going to fight for the faith.
We've crossed the goal line. We're in the end zone now on our show on the war, on crossing the goal. Time to look at our email bag from Boulder, Colorado. Dr. David Rush says he liked our show on honesty. He says the response to questions could include a strong suggestion that the person receive the sacrament of penance. He says understanding the power of this sacrament would be good advice, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's great advice. It's the sacrament's an essential component, essential weapon we're given in the spiritual combat. We all are regulars and receiving the sacrament. And at our conferences, Crossing the Goal conferences, we make sure that we give an opportunity for every single guy to be able to get to confession because we think it's that important to do. And we do talk about it on the program with some regularity.
And your wife called me up and said, could you get Peter to go a few more times?
Confession is a great gift. Also, Randy Bryant writes from Lafayette, Georgia. He said, it's such a privilege to watch the show that tackles the hard issues that men face. You never shy away from the really tough issues. He says, I was moved by the prayer at the end of one of your shows. Keep up the good work. And this show in particular, this whole series on spiritual warfare, we really need extra prayer.
Well, absolutely. This is part of our life. It's not like we just pray on the show. I mean, this is our daily habit that we have formed over the years. Before we start the show, we pray. When we prepare, we pray.
Yeah,
everything we do, pray. So it's just part of our life.
Yeah. Prayer is essential to what we do and hopefully to what you do as well. Let's get the closing remarks, the final word on the war here on the series that we're doing on spiritual warfare, beginning with Peter.
One simple challenge in the face of the growing secular culture we're in that just resists the biblical worldview, I want to challenge you, brothers, make a decision in your heart that you want to accept the biblical worldview as the Lord brings it to us and as the church teaches it. And we're going to take it into our hearts and live it.
Great, Peter. I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We're told this, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith. This is the point. The devil's more powerful than we are, but if we're united to Christ, Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's where the real power is. Resist the devil and the power of Christ.
First of all, men, take courage. We've already won the war through Jesus Christ on the cross, but we must persevere daily in our own battles, struggles on a daily basis. But take courage also. We have the Holy Spirit as our defender.
And in a war, uniforms are very important. So look how sharp these guys look in their new Crossing the Goal shirts. And I've got one on as well. Those are available on our website, along with that beautiful cap that Danny's wearing.
Yeah.
And have you seen the new Crossing the Goal playbook?
Yeah, those are
on
good.
The Our
those
Father.
Great.
A really great book. And we've got a number of these on our website. And we hope that you will tap into that great resource. Next time, we're going to talk about the world as we continue our series on spiritual warfare. For Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin of Focus, our coach Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. We'll see you next time on Crossing the Goal. All right, guys, of course, an army needs to be well-dressed. I love the new Crossing the Goal shirts and hat, coach, and we have a new Crossing the Goal playbook, too.
Excited about that, aren't we?
I can see the dead zone.
Like, going to say.
No.
He's like, me? I'm supposed to
dead silent. We're really excited about that. Dead silence.